Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Richard Rossi, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. We've had some very interesting guests leading up to the election. One of the most controversial guests that was also listened to more than just about any show we've done, including shows with Oscar winners and celebrities, was a man who said he is a prophet for Donald Trump, Reverend J.R. Phelps, who predicted, along with Kat Kerr and others who call themselves prophets for Trump, that Trump would win in a landslide. I asked them if they were going to change the name of their group to False Prophets for Trump, because Donald Trump did not win by a landslide. Most news reports say that he did not win the popular vote, although they won the Electoral College. So I'm a bit of a smart aleck, and I asked Prophets for Trump if they were going to change their name to False Prophets for Trump, since they didn't win by a landslide. And my smart aleck question got me in trouble with Prophets for Trump. They blocked me and banned me from the Facebook group Prophets for Trump, and were pretty upset with me. So they're still upset with me, but I have invited Reverend J.R. Phelps from Prophets for Trump on, who thinks Trump is God's man and this was all God and defends everything he prophesied. And we'll also have some protesters that want to represent the other side, that Trump is a precursor to America really going down the tubes and Nazi Germany and all that kind of stuff. So we'll be back with this controversial show and controversial guests to talk post-election of the Trump win. And we'll be back in about 30 seconds here on Richard Rossi Live. Be right back. Welcome back to Richard Rossi Live, and I'd like to say welcome to Reverend J.R. Phelps, Prophets for Trump. Welcome to the show, and this is your second appearance, and you stirred up quite a lot in your first appearance prior to the vote, and tell me your feelings now that Trump has won.
Well, first of all, I'd like to see you repent and admit that I was right. I prophesied Trump would win, and you said that was not probable. You said it was possible but not probable, and I guaranteed a Trump victory because God told me, and you did not believe me. You questioned my gift as a prophet for Trump, and I just want you to repent here on the air for the errors of your ways.
Well, I will give you partial credit that you predicted he would win, and you know that you got that right. I mean, you know, the pundits, the quote-unquote experts on the news, did not see that victory. They thought it was Hillary had a slight edge. You know, I did predict he would win the Republican nomination and beat the other 16 candidates. But I wasn't convinced, as you were, that he was going to win the election. However, one of the reasons you were upset with me and kicked me out of the group, Prophets for Trump, which I was interested in, and I'm interested in religion, I'm interested in prophecy, I'm interested in the intersection of religion and politics. But when I said that, you know, it was a false prophecy because you predicted a landslide, you blocked me and banned me and said I couldn't have access to what you were saying in the group. You predicted a landslide, so was that not in fact a false prophecy?
It was a landslide. Did you look at the map? Did you see how the whole middle of the United States, bless God, glory, the whole middle of the United States was we saw God's hand. We saw God's anointing. And the only areas that voted for Hal Lowry, Jezebel Hillary, was the Eastern liberal part, the New York and that sort of thing, and the, you know, California, where you got all the fruits, nuts, and flakes where you are.
Well, why do you think Trump didn't get New York? He's from New York. He's a New York guy. He defended New York very eloquently when Cruz put down New York and put down New York values.
Well, you got all those liberals. New York and Los Angeles are like Sodom and Gomorrah.
Okay, well, I was like a lot of people, was really surprised that he did do as well as he did, but I certainly don't think it qualifies for a landslide.
It is a landslide. Did you not see the map?
Well, when I think of landslide, I think of Reagan had a landslide, I think, the second time he won. I think landslide, I think of getting, you know, the vast majority of the popular vote and all that stuff. But you know what? I want to give you partial credit that you got it right. You got it right that he won. I don't think you and Kat Kerr and the other people, you know, got it right about the landslide. But you got it right about the victory. I want to revisit, though, some of the things you and some of the alleged prophets for Trump.
What do you mean alleged? We are prophets for Trump. We said he'd won and he won.
Well, let's take a look. I have some of your prophecies here for you and Kat Kerr and some of the other folks. And let's just call some of that stuff up. Kat Kerr, for some reason now, is saying not wanting to use the prophet title and is calling herself a revelator. I don't see what the difference is between a revelator and a prophet, but she is, let's take a look at what she said.
We went after Iraq. They did not knock down the World Trade Center, okay? It wasn't the Iraqis that knocked down the World Trade Center. We went after Iraq. We decimated the country. Iran's taken over, okay. But it wasn't the Iraqis. You will find out who really knocked down the World Trade Center, because they have papers in there that are very secret.
So you hear Kat Kerr and the Prophets for Trump celebrating. They believe Trump is sent from God, and we have Reverend J.R. Phelps, who is from, calls himself Prophets for Trump, has a group, Prophets for Trump. On line two, we have some protesters here who have been marching in the cities. Now in Los Angeles, Portland, New York, and we have someone here on the line that says that Trump is really leading us down the tubes, that we have great reason to be afraid. And I'd like to, are you here on line two? This is Terry McDonald with the protests. Terry McDonald, can you hear me? Terry McDonald.
Yes, I'm here.
Terry, you've heard Reverend Phelps from Prophets for Trump say that Trump is God's man. He's the one sent from God to save America. You're marching in the streets saying it's the opposite.
I could not disagree more. Trump is far from a man sent from God. In fact, I think he is the devil incarnate.
Well, I think you protesters are the devil incarnate. You're stirring up strife. The Bible says to submit to the authorities that God puts in, Romans 13, to submit to the authorities.
Well, hold on a second. If I can interject, this is Richard. Hold on, guys. If you take Reverend Phelps, that scripture in Romans 13, literally in every case, then if you were in Nazi Germany, you would submit to Hitler. You wouldn't question Hitler. I mean, the point of the protester here, Terry McDonald, if he thinks Trump is evil, then, you know, it would not be godly, if he's correct, to just submit to whatever Trump wants.
Well, God put Trump into office. God is in control. The Bible says in Psalms, he puts up one and sets down another. So God's the one that decided the vote.
Oh, well, okay. Well, if you take that completely the way you're saying it, then would you have said God was in control when Obama was put into office, that he set Obama in office for the last 8 years?
Well, you can't twist that around like that.
Well, why can't I? If it applies to Trump winning, that God put him there, did he not also put Obama in? I mean,
No, God's not going to put a man like that in there who was not even born in this country, who was born in Kenya, as Trump was courageous to expose.
Whoa. This is Terry Mc. Trump was the one that stirred up this birther movement, and he repudiated that. I mean, even Trump himself later admitted he was wrong when he had to admit that.
Well, okay, well, the protest, one of the concerns some of us watching have as we watch this, Mr. McDonald, is there's destruction, there's vandalism. So isn't it a bit hypocritical to say we're worried that Trump is going to destroy America as you're destroying property, as you're destroying, you know, cars, and as you're destroying things?
Well, there is an anarchist element to the protest. There is an anarchist element to it, but we're not endorsing what, and we can't control what everyone else does.
Well, another criticism I've heard is that Trump has said these are professional protesters.
Well, I would agree. This is profits for Trump. I would agree. I can show you the Craigslist ads. You can Google Craigslist ads for Trump protesters, and they're paying. They're paying $15 an hour. They're recruiting these people just to stir up strife.
The media has been covering it, too. So, in a sense, I mean, isn't that kind of feeding and giving publicity to what you're doing?
Well, in the protest, as we're marching, yes, the media is giving attention. But the media is, you know, Trump can't have it both ways. The media covered him. The media kind of made him. The media gave him all this free time because he made these outrageous statements and things. And he would dominate the headlines and get a lot. So now they're covering us protesting him. So now he doesn't want the media to cover us protesting him. But, you know, there's a lot of people hurting right now.
Yeah, there are. And why don't we address some of the fears? For those of you protesting, what are some of your fears? What are the fears of the people that are protesting?
Well, a lot of women are afraid that protesting out here with us, that Roe v. Wade will be overturned and they won't be able to have an abortion.
This is Reverend Phelps, Prophets for Trump. This has proven my point. This has proven my point that all they want to do is murder babies. These sluts made their choice. They want to be pro-choice. They made their choice when they decided to uncross their legs.
Okay, well, let's keep this a little bit clean here. The Trump did, in the 60 Minutes interview, address some of the fears. Some of my gay friends were afraid that the Supreme Court would overturn, that he would overturn the same-sex marriage situation. However, he said with Leslie Stahl in his interview Sunday night that he would not be doing anything with that decision, so that fear was unfounded. As far as the fear with the immigrants, another of the big fears, he said he's going after the criminals, people with criminal records and things like that, but he's not rounding up with stormtroopers and going door to door. But let's see what Trump has to say. 60 Minutes, he did address...
Are you in any way intimidated, scared about this enormous burden, the gravity of what you're taking on?
No.
Not at all.
I respect it.
but I'm not scared by it. No, you're not scared. But there are people, Americans, who are scared, and some of them are demonstrating right now, demonstrating against you, against your rhetoric.
That's only because they don't know me. I really believe that. That's
only. Well, they listen to you in the campaign, and that's.
I just don't think they know me.
What do you think they're demonstrating against?
Well, I think in some cases you have professional protesters, and we had it. If you look at WikiLeaks,
those people down there are.
Well, Leslie. Yeah,
professional?
I think some of them will be professional.
Okay,
yeah, look,
but what about?
I have.
They're in every city. When they demonstrate against you, and there are signs out there, I mean, don't you say to yourself, I guess you don't, you know, do I have to worry about this? Do I have to go out and assuage them? Do I have to tell them not to be afraid? They're afraid.
I would tell them don't be afraid. Absolutely.
But that's not what you're saying.
I think I'm saying it. I've been saying it.
Okay.
Don't be afraid.
Okay, so Trump is trying to calm fears, and he's trying to assuage the fears there in that interview. Reverend Phelps, you've talked a lot about Trump's and you and Prophets for Trump, Trump being God's man. I'm curious, as a minister, as a man of faith, did it bother you at all that Trump talked about grabbing women, that he talked grabbing their genitals, grabbing their private areas and things like that, and that because of his wealth and fame that he could do this or they'd let him do that? Did that bother you at all? And I'm a little perplexed because Trump got 85% of the evangelical vote, and it didn't seem like too many in the evangelical movement, with a few exceptions. Beth Moore, a Bible teacher, was appalled by and felt the church should not be praising him and lining up behind him. There's been a few defectors, but by and large, the evangelical vote didn't seem to be bothered by that, didn't seem to be troubled by what seemed to many kind of sexual predator language. Did it bother you at all, Reverend Phelps, of Prophets for Trump?
No, it did not bother me, because you read the Bible, anointed men of God, they had lots of women. King David, Solomon, they had thousands and thousands, praise God, of concubines.
Let's go over to line two. Can you still hear me? I know the protests are going on, and you're taking a little break there, Mr. McDonald, Terry McDonald. What were your feelings?
Well, a lot of the people protesting have, a lot of the women are concerned that this kind of rape culture, this kind of feeling as if, you know, the way Trump dismissed and Trump supporters dismissed these some of the accusers of, oh, she didn't look good, or she was too old, or Trump wouldn't hit on that, and those with the background of being sexually abused, this is very triggering, very troubling, and it's amazing to us that these born-again Christians, people that are claiming to be people of faith, that this is no big deal to them. I'm perplexed.
Well, my wife and I met at a fundamentalist school, Liberty University, and coming from that background, I think the thing that the evangelicals care about more than anything else is two hot-button issues. One is abortion, and one is gay rights. And so because Trump said he's pro-life, because Trump said he'll employ a pro-life judge, I think that trumps, to forgive the pun, but it trumps all the other stuff. So, I mean, the Republicans, they put their faith in to end abortion, have never done it for them, starting with Reagan and Bushes and all that stuff. So for some reason, they keep believing that if they vote Republican, that will overturn abortion or make abortion illegal.
Well, each time is different. He has a real chance. It's Reverend Phelps, Prophets for Trump. He has a real chance now to change the nature of the Supreme Court.
But like Trump said on 60 Minutes, it's a long ways for that even to be possibly happen. If it does happen, it doesn't end abortion. It just puts it back to the states. It goes back to the states. And does it bother you, Reverend Phelps, that abortion goes up with Republicans, even though they have pro-life rhetoric? The number of abortions went down under the Obama administration, go up under Republicans, because they give you the lip service of being pro-life, but they cut and slash a lot of things that tend to reduce the number of abortions.
Like what? What are you talking about?
Well, they cut
you know, birth control education that eliminates unwanted pregnancies, and social programs that are a safety net for some of the women that are poor, that are need some help, like WIC, to feed the kids, and a lot of the programs that help a woman have the kid or have some support, because so many of these programs are cut under Republican administration. So, I mean, wouldn't you rather vote for someone, even if they don't give you the rhetoric that you like in terms of pro-life, I'm pro-life, if they actually reduce the number? I mean, isn't the goal to reduce the number of babies that are actually aborted?
The goal is to elect God's man, and Trump is God's man, and your question to me is his prophet. I've told you repeatedly Trump would win by a landslide.
Okay, he didn't win by a landslide. He won, but there at the protests, what are you wanting to achieve, Mr. McDonald, at the protests?
Well, we're trying to warn people. We feel we are dealing with another Hitler. Hitler had his propaganda man, Goebbels, and who is he appointed as his counselor? As a man that's pretty much giving him strategy? This Bannon from Breitbart, who puts out all these propaganda stories that have nothing to do with truth.
Well, that is a concern. Priebus has been elected chief of staff, but Trump has appointed Bannon, who ran the Breitbart site, as chief strategist. Let's see what's going on with that.
When you look at this press release they put out, and this is all reading between the tea leaves, and maybe because I've been in Washington a while, but Steve Bannon was named first, and then came White House Chief of Staff, Reince Priebus. And I think that's a real signal that not only is he going to be a senior counselor, but he's going to have a seat at every single table that the White House Chief of Staff has a seat at. Don't forget, these are people who have not served in a White House before. So there is no sense of how it ought to work other than what they're being told. I think that this really gives us an indication that it's going to work a different way.
Yes, thanks. By the way, this is Gloria Borger, of a political analyst from CNN. Gloria, you have concern that Bannon's propaganda, as well as some of the people coming in, are kind of establishment people, which Trump said he was going to drain the swamp with the establishment people. So you have multiple concerns about the team that's being assembled. What else are you concerned in terms of Bannon as chief strategist and the team that's assembling around Trump?
And that we all know the duties of the White House chief of staff and how important that is to any president, because he's the gatekeeper. He or she is the gatekeeper. But I think what we're seeing with in Steve Bannon is that he might be the whisperer to the president. I was told in doing my reporting on this earlier this week that this past week that Steve Bannon in many ways is like Donald Trump in that winning is what's important, and that he, even though obviously he has his pedigree from the right wing of the Republican Party, that he wants to succeed, and that is where Donald Trump sits.
And I have a feeling Trump and Bannon are smarter than, and I want to say this in a way that doesn't sound insulting, because it's important to me to not feel like I'm insulting the people, but 80% or 85% of evangelicals voted for Trump, and 80-85% of whites who are not college educated or did not finish college. And again, I'm not saying there's people who are stupid people, but I know from being in the evangelical world that the BS detectors are not really functional. Once you buy into somebody like Reverend Phelps on the line, that he's a prophet, and so once their leaders say this is God, they tend to throw out any kind of critical thinking. And so if you get a guy like Bannon and Trump that are all about winning and all about going to their goals, and they're very good at that, and they're very good at making money, they're very good at achieving things, it's important that we are hearing the caution and the downside, and we're balancing all that. And unfortunately, with no checks or balances, that's one of the fears people have right now, is the government doesn't have those checks and balances. And I don't know Bannon personally, but people are afraid that if it's all about just winning and advancing the Trump agenda, and Bannon's history of propagandists and kind of stretching the truth with his stories and into the whole realm of conspiracy theories, these are things you're worried about as well, Gloria?
I think that these two men, I mean, obviously White House Chief of Staff seems is the plum job here, but don't underestimate the impact and the importance of the Steve Bannon appointment as well, because I think he is going to have Donald Trump's ear all the time.
Thank you, Gloria. Some people are also concerned that he's anti-Semite. I mean, that's been brought up, that some of the conspiratorial kind of white, I'm not calling Bannon an anti-Semite, but some of the white supremacist element has been appealed to with the whole Breitbart site and things like that. Is that a concern as well?
And this is all reading between the tea leaves, and maybe because I've been in Washington a while, but Steve Bannon was named first, and then came White House Chief of Staff, Reince Priebus. And I think that's a real signal that not only is he going to be a senior counselor, but he's going to have a seat at every single table that the White House Chief of Staff has a seat at. Don't forget, these are people who have not served in a White House before.
If I could just cut you off for a moment, Gloria. Reverend Phelps, how do you feel about the fact, because you've been really a gay-bashing person with the whole God hates fags and all those kind of signs. Did it bother you that Trump said that, you know, he's standing for leaving the gay marriage ruling as is? I mean, I would think the whole evangelical, because that's one of the things that they love to hate. Were you upset a little bit with Trump that he affirmed the Supreme Court decision and is not going to mess with gay marriage?
Yeah, I was upset, and I think some demonic spirits may be trying to influence him, or he may be being cagey and shrewd, you know, wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, and letting them gays get comfortable thinking they can do their little sodomy thing, their little ride the Hershey Highway thing, and then he comes right down and snatches that sinful gay marriage thing from them. But I am concerned if he meant what he said, he's getting a little soft on sin, but we're going to have to pray for him, get the prophets for Trump praying for him and all that sort of thing.
Well, one of the initial appointments that Trump made was a gay man. So, as you know, some of the appointments he's making or the people that he's thinking of appointing are people from groups that your ministry and some of the white supremacists, some of the anti-gay movement is upset with, you know, African-American like Ben Carson and a gay individual that he's appointed. And then,
Well, it sure beats Hillary, though, because Hillary is a witch. She's in the Illuminati. She casts spells on people. And
this is, Terry McDonald, can I get in here? Sure, Terry. We are seeing something that I feel shock. Like I'm seeing a bad dream. And as we're here protesting, we are convinced that not only is he incompetent with no government experience, but he is Satan, he is Hitler, and with nothing but a Republican House and a Republican Senate, America's going to go down the tubes. I mean, we have a guy that can't even control himself in what he tweets with his hand on the nuclear button. And I'm very, very worried about this, and I think if we don't get out on the streets and protest this, we're headed to Nazi Germany here in the United States. I mean, it is very, very serious, very, very serious. Well, thank you. We're running out of time, but thank you to our guests, Prophets for Trump, J.R. Phelps, and the protesters, Terry McDonald, who believe Trump is not a man sent from God, as the Prophets for Trump believe, but the opposite. And I'm going to leave a final word with those of you that are listening, and that is that it's very important for all of you to not let your peace of mind and your happiness be controlled by that which you can't control. We can't control who wins the election. We can't control who is appointed in the White House. We can exercise First Amendments and protest which is a good thing, as Mr. McDonald's doing. And, well, I guess First Amendment would cover Reverend Phelps and his religion and his belief that he's a prophet. But the ultimate person who determines whether your life, those you listening, whether you create positive things in your life or negative energy is you. A bad president or a good president, a Republican or a Democrat, Hillary or Donald, it really is not Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton that ultimately determines your life. They may affect your life by their policies, and I don't want to minimize that. But all of you listening, you can choose to be happy. Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation, you'll have troubles, but be of good cheer, be happy, I've overcome the world. And I want to encourage all of you to go towards your goals, to focus on what gives your life meaning. You know, there was a great psychotherapist, Viktor Frankl, who was in Nazi Germany in the actual concentration camps. And he found meaning as he was in the concentration camps to decide what gives him meaning. And he decided, I'm not going to succumb, even if the worst were true. And I don't believe that, in all respect to Mr. McDonald, that it is as bad as he paints the picture to be in terms of we're headed for Nazi Germany. But even if that were true, Viktor Frankl in Nazi Germany did not succumb to that. He knew that what he told himself between his own two ears, what he thought and what he told himself, was so important, and he created a whole therapy called logotherapy. Logos means the word in Greek. It's used in the New Testament, speaking of Christ. The beginning was the word, the logos. So what we all tell ourselves at this time when we do have extreme voices on the right and on the left, as exhibited by some of my guests today, make sure that you choose to take thoughts captive, to not listen to the lies on either extreme, but to recognize that you, like Viktor Frankl, determine the meaning of your life, not Trump, not Hillary. Don't let your happiness be controlled by something you can't control. Let's wait and see what happens here now in these coming days. And I was encouraged by the 60 Minutes interview that he has softened a bit on some of the more extreme things. But we'll see, and we'll get through it together. And I got all your backs, all you listening. If anything affects you or upsets you, let me know. I got your back in prayer. I got your back as a friend. And we're going to be the United States of America. We rise and fall together. What unites us is greater than what divides us. God bless you, and thank you for tuning in to Richard Rossi Live.